Time I hear that overhead about God's ancient words, I mean, it just touches me because I hear so many times people try to make out like the Bible is so old and outdated. And I even heard it down through this week. I even heard somebody write about it because they were writing about a situation that was going on, and somebody said, well, you know, it was on like Facebook or something like that. That thing's just old and outdated and ancient words. And I was just sitting here reading out. I said, you know what? Praise God for words that they may think are outdated, but I'm going to tell you what, they help me. Amen. They can help you. They'll change. They strengthen our lives, do they not? I thank God for His Word. I thank it. Once they can say it's not for today, but I'm going to tell you what, it fits today more than it ever fit any time. I believe it does. I'm going to be over in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to read one verse, and I'm going to read the verse here in a little bit. Well, I'll just go ahead and read it now. I'm just going to go ahead and read it now. Lord, I'll just do that. Genesis 33:9. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. I have enough, my brother. Keep that which thou hast unto thyself. And I want you to concentrate on three little words. I have enough. Just concentrate on that. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving again in my heart. I praise you and thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand behind this sacred desk this morning. I just ask you, Lord, now that you take the message and Lord, this, and Father, the way that you would have it to be. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs you for whatever reason, needs a touch from you, Lord, I pray, Father, this morning, this very morning, that they would come, Lord. That they would come, Lord, and Father, that we know that you can help, that you can touch, and that you can uplift. We know that this morning. And Jesus, you've heard this story. I know you have countless times. You've heard this story, but I'm going to take it from a little different angle this morning, Lord willing. The Lord has impressed upon my heart with this. We all know that Jacob and Esau were twin brothers, do we not? We understand it. That's what they were. And at birth, Esau was born first, and that gave him the birthright. That give him the right to all. But we know that Jacob got that birthright from Esau because why? Because Esau came in from hunting one day, and he was starved to the point of almost passing. So whenever he come in and he said, "Help me, brother," you know, he said, "I'm about ready to pass out," and he was making some stew. This is what Jacob was making. He was making some stew. So what he done? He give him some of the stew, and what Jacob asked him was, he said, give me your birthright. Give me that birthright for the stew. And you know what? Esau went ahead and did that. We also understand that a little bit later on, that whenever Isaac was going to pass out the blessing, how that Jacob also tricked his father into going ahead and bestowing that blessing upon him. How that whenever Jacob went in, well, Isaac first off had sent Esau out to get him some venison. He said he loved the way that he fixed it. He said, you go out and get that, and when you come back and fix that for me, then I'll bestow the blessing upon you. Well, Jacob and Esau's mother heard it, and she went, and she told Jacob to go get a lamb and cook it. And she cooked it and fixed it just the way that Esau would have cooked it, and dressed old Jacob up in clothes in Esau's back of his hands and neck. We all know the story how he deceived Isaac, and Isaac was getting blind at the time like that. But anyway, we understand that that's how the birthright was passed on from Esau to Jacob because of this. Now, before we get too judgmental about it, I want us to understand something. Esau did this willingly. If you go over and look in Genesis 25:34, then Jacob gave Esau, but went his way, and Esau despised his birthright. Do we understand that? He despised his birthright. Esau literally, for a quick fix, gave up his birthright with all the things that went with it because of a quick fix in his life. And I want to say something for you. And I want, this is not part of what I'm really going to preach on here a little bit, but it's something for your information, young folks and middle-aged folks and old folks alike. I want to tell you something this morning. God has a plan and purpose in your life. Do not give it up for some quick fix in your life one day. I have seen many a family broke up. I've seen many a person that fall back in this life because of some quick fix that they wanted to take. to make up for something that they wanted right now. I've seen it happen way too much. Do that right now. But anyway, do not do that. So as you can imagine, Esau got very mad. He got mad about it. And you know what happened? Jacob had to leave. And Jacob was gone for some 20 years, I believe what it was. And it said Jacob fled. And now is the time for him to return home. Well, as he comes in, and we see it fine. Jacob is trying to give Esau a gift here. He's trying to give him a gift. And that brings us to today's scripture and what I want to talk about with you. Whatever it says, I have enough, my brother. Three simple words. I have enough. And I want to say something about this, what they can do. I tell you, I believe that those words right there have really, do you realize services? Those three simple words have destroyed many a church. Those three simple words have potential, that many potential moves of God in our lives have been taken away from us because the Bible has been put down because of those three simple words. I have enough. I have enough. And I told you, this is going to be from a different angle. This is going to be from an angle. God had put this upon my heart and I said, God, how in the world am I going to get this out of me? He said, I have had enough. Because the moment that we think that we have enough of God, we are in trouble. Do you understand that? The moment that we think that we have it, the only time we need God's Word is on Sunday, we're in trouble. I want you to know that if you don't pick up your Bible, the only time you pick it up is to read what I'm telling you down through the week. I want you to understand something. You're saying to God, I've got enough. I've got enough of what I needed on Sunday there whenever the Word was read. I'm going to tell you something. Those ancient words, they will help you Monday through Sunday if you let them do that. They will do it. You know what? I get enough of God's Word on Sunday. I don't need to listen to it anymore. You know what? I get enough of praying on Sunday. Some prayer that you pray on Sunday, I don't think it lasts me down through the week. I don't know about you. I need to talk to Him regularly. Amen? And I'll get into more of that here in a little bit. I get enough of fellowship on Sunday. I see these people enough on Sunday. Why do I need to see them on Wednesday? You know what? I get enough of that. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to be with God's people. Amen? Amen. I need to hear the testimonies of Bev. I need to hear the testimonies of Patty. I need to hear your testimonies. Because they encourage me. And they should encourage you also. You know what? We see, come to think about it, some people might say, I just get enough of church, period, on Sunday morning. I don't need it anymore. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You're doing yourself such a discredit right there. Are you not? Anything else other than what I get once a week? I'll tell you what. May I say that when it comes to God's glory, when it comes to God's power, when it comes to God's blessings upon my life and the saving of souls, His Holy Spirit moving within my life, I want to tell you something this morning. I don't get enough of it. As for my life, I want every ounce and every bit of it. And I want you to have it also. Amen? Our aim is way too low, okay? We're putting our sights way too low. We're doing that. I like what Paul said in Philippians 3:13. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul knew there was a prize. He knew it. And you know what was more important? He knew he was willing to do whatever it took. He was not going to be satisfied until he got that prize. Praise God, I want you to know something this morning. If you think you've got enough, you ain't got nothing yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. Anything that me and you have ever comprehended, if we just believe and totally turn it over to Him. And you know what? We got to want it. God, you're only going to get what you got. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're lost. I'm not telling you that. There's lots of saved people that just sit back seemingly, you know what? And just seem like they're satisfied. But I'm telling you, we're talking about spiritual progress here. We should be never have enough. Proverbs tells us in 4:18 tells us, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It didn't say that shines till you get enough. It says more and more and more. We should want as much of God as we can handle, as we can grasp. We should want as much of that. Do you believe that? Can you say amen to that? You and God will never have the best of what God wants in our life if we sit back and are satisfied where we're at. If the people who testify to us Whenever we were growing up, I was thinking, I told you last week about my aunts and uncles like that, and the people in my life told me that I needed to be in church. What about your moms and dads? What if they had never testified to you? What if they had never taken you to church? What about that aunt and uncle that had never testified to you? What about with the way their life was and that they were going to heaven and they didn't want to spread it out? How would your life be affected today? Can I ask you that? I tell you, your life may be a whole lot different than what it is right now. Amen? It may be a whole lot different than what it is right now if they were done. What if, and I want to ask you this, guys. What if you called your employer tomorrow, and all you guys at work, and told them, you know what, I'm pretty sad about Grover. That'd probably go down like a lead balloon, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. That's probably right. Why do we do that to God, then? Why do we do that to God when He has so much for us, but yet we'll sit back and we're satisfied and we're saying, you know what, I'm fine the way I am, God. I'm good right here. It's all fine. And God's saying, I got so much for you. I've got so much more for you. Now, how do you think this a little bit of God would do us? Why do we think that? Do you think Satan sits back and says he has enough? I don't think he does. Linda even quoted a scripture here this morning, Isaiah 5, herself. Now, get a load of that. Hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitudes and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Does that sound to me like Satan satisfied where he's at? That he's not wanting more and more? I'm telling you, he's out to seek and devour whosoever he will. And you know what? He's not going to stop. Why should we stop? I believe we should. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Why? Because Satan is not satisfied. He wants more. He wants more. And folks, if we ever get to the thing ourselves, we're hurting those around us. We should want as much as we can get. We should do that. Look at what's going on in society today. The children of the world are motivated and activated, are they not? Satan has them motivated. He has his army actually. He's out there trying to gain more and more. While the church would sit by idly on the corner and say, that is no way to be. That is no way to be. I don't think it is. God forbid you or I ever say, when God's in ways never been used before, He's wanting to take us. You may be sitting here and there may be something in your life God is dealing with you with. I'm telling you, I believe this morning, I believe it. God's dealing with people here this morning about stuff in their life. He's wanting to use you for something more, and you have sat back for I don't know how long and said, God, I'm fine, I'm satisfied. And He's dealt with you. I'm telling you, jump on it. Grab it. Take a hold of it, because I'm telling you, if you're just willing to step out and think I've got enough, you know what? If God's dealing with you, say, God, I want it. Run up here and get it. When it comes to my prayer life, I don't have enough. You understand that? I understand we don't have to pray 10 hours a day to be close to God. I have what I'm trying to say here this morning. There should not be one person in this church building today who can stand and say, I'm satisfied with my prayer life. Because there's none of us in here that can be satisfied with my prayer life. None of us. Matthew 7:7-8 tells us, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be. And those are words of life to live by, are they not? Are they not? Listen to it. It said, knocketh and it shall be opened. Listen to me. You're not going to get in a door if you don't knock and ask to come in. God's saying, listen to me. I've got so much for you. I've got it for you. He said, I want to give to you. I want to stir you up. I want your prayer life to be on fire. Jesus also talks about us going into our prayer closet. Does he not? Does he not? It says it over Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Folks, may I say this morning, may I boldly say to you, and I'm going to say it with all the love I have, you need a prayer closet somewhere. I don't care if it's in your car going to work. I don't care if it's in your basement. I don't care if it's at work. I don't care where it is. So you need a place. Need to have that place, and that's a special place where you go and you can get down and get in touch with Him. And praise God, I want you to know something. That prayer closet is something that's very special. I want you to turn to 2 Kings 11:1-3. Front. I'm going to butcher these names real good, so just bear with me. I used to have a girl on 14th Avenue. She said, when you get to a word that you don't know, she said, always said banana. I'd be saying banana all the way down through here. But anyway, we're going to be in 2 Kings 11, 1 through 3. And I want to talk to you about some things about the cloth. 2 Kings 11, 1 through 3. And when Athaliah, the mother of Azariah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehoshabiah, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Azariah, took Joash, the son, and they hid him, even him, and his nurse, now get this, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. Now let me tell you what happened here. This is an interesting story. I'm just going to give you what happened. The king had died, and his mother wanted to reign. So what did she do? She went in and took all the king's babies and killed them. She took them all the sons, because she didn't want any lineage left. She wanted to reign. Well, this girl took one of the babies and took it back in the bedchamber and hid it. Put it back in the bedchamber. And you say, what's that got to do with the closet? Find three things that are about this that are important. It was a place of protection. That lady grabbed that baby, took it back into that bedchamber, maybe hid it in there in that closet. That was a place of protection. I want you to know something this morning. Our prayer closets are a place of protection. Amen? That is a place for us. People are coming at us. I want you to know something. The place that I can go to find protection is I can go to my prayer closet. Why? Because I know who's going to meet me there. Amen? It's a place of potential. She hid that baby because she knew that one day he was going to be king. And this wicked woman was going to be taken out. And prayer closets are a place of potential. It's a place where we have something going on in our lives. And things can change in our life when we go into our prayer closet. And we have our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Again, why? Because of who we meet there. There's potential. It's a place of power. Righteous people can change things. The prayer of a righteous man can avail of much, right? It can change things. There's power in prayer. There's power in going to a God that can answer prayers. I believe that. And just because you know what? Just because the world cannot see it. Just because of I want you to know, it's because of who's there again. Jesus Christ is there to meet us. So there is power in prayer, folks. It can be found in a prayer. Closets can be overwhelmed, surrounded. There is power in crying out to God. Amen? There's power in crying out to God from our prayer closet. It came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, "It is the king of Israel." Therefore they compressed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out. He cried out, and the Lord helped him. I want you to understand something. When you're in need and the thing is against you, call out to Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him in prayer. Whether from your prayer closet or wherever it may be, but you cry out to Him. And I want you to know He will hear and He can answer prayers. He can do that. We can't get enough of prayer, folks. Do you agree with me on that? The fullness of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know. We can't get enough of that either, amen? We cannot get enough of that. Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but what? Be ye filled with the Spirit." And you know what it means by being filled with the Spirit there? It means being always, it leaves less room for everything else. It does. We can't get enough of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. You know what? Psalms 23:5. Say this with me. You know what the 23rd Psalm, the 5th verse. You can say it right with me. "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over." Amen. Amen. When the Spirit of God overwhelms you, when the rush comes in, I want you to know your cup can runneth over. He can do that. Why? Because you know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God, you don't ever get enough of it. You don't want to get enough of it. Bow the love of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. You know what? "I have enough" should never be in our vocabulary when it comes to talking about the Holy Spirit. Should never be in our vocabulary whatsoever. When it comes to this church, or any other church being full of people, we can never have enough. Amen? It gets so packed, it gets so hot, it gets so cold, whatever the situation. But preacher, we have a lot of people. I'm not talking about simply for having numbers. You know me better than that. But listen to me. Listen to what the scripture says. And I've got a bunch of it here. And I want you to listen. Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily that she... Acts 5:14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude both men and women. Acts 11:24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Listen, you hear what I'm saying? And that's not all. Let's go on. Acts 6:7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests of the churches rest thereout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. What's the thing that goes right with every one of those? It was multiplied. There were people added, right? In Acts 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. The people were multiplied. We don't have enough simply for the fact that we need more numbers in here. That's not what I'm talking about. There are drug addicts. Amen. There are abused men and children that need to have their hearts and their souls healed. Amen. There are good moral individuals that need to be saved. Amen? I want you to know something. As long as we radius this church, we need to get as many people in this church as we can get in to get souls saved and to see people blessed. Amen? Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. We need that. This world out here needs that. Not because we never should say that we have enough. We have enough. Oh, we're satisfied. You ever get to that point, folks? I'm going to tell you right now. We never have enough people getting saved. Amen? Let me say this in closing. Esau finally took the gift. Remember that? You read on down through there, he finally took it. God is there waiting to give you and I so much more. You may be sitting here this morning. You can have a deeper, you can have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. I want you to know that. If you're a Christian, and you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know where you're at with the Lord this morning, but I know this. I know this. If you're that way this morning, He's saying, come. You can have a deeper, closer walk with me. You can do that. You'll miss out on self if you do not want more with Him. If you don't, you'll miss out on it. Maybe your walk has gotten stale. There's people like that. There's people that have gotten stale. I'll tell you, I've done that in my life before. I'll be the first to raise my hand. My walk with the Lord has gotten stale sometimes. I've had to go back and say, Lord, you know what? It's my fault. It's my fault. I'm not wanting to draw closer to you. And He's wanting to draw closer to you this morning, folks. He's wanting to do that. Jesus is standing there with His arms like this, and He's saying, I want to bring you closer. I want to set you on fire again. I want to make you more of what you should be for me. Amen? God, I'm good. I don't need any more. I'm good, God. I don't need any more. Listen to me. Don't do that to yourselves. Don't do that to yourselves this morning. Listen to me. What it says over Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask Him. You hear that this morning? Knock, and it shall be given. Right? Come up here. God will answer. God will answer what that need is in your life, whatever it may be. You receive the greater things, right? Amen. If you're lost, man, do I have a deal for you. If you're sitting back there this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you something. You see a car, whatever it is, we'll give you $4,000 trade-in for whatever it is. You've seen a commercial on TV? Of course you know what they do. They jack up the price of the vehicle and you know what, they'll make it up. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ has a deal for you. Let me tell you what it is. You bring in all your heart. You bring in all your troubles. You bring in all your addictions. You bring in everything that's affecting your life. Give it to Him. He don't raise the price of anything else. You know what? It's already been paid. And He said, in its place, I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you love beyond measure. Amen. I'm going to give you so much. I'm going to give you so much. I'm going to take all that from you, and I'm going to give you so much more. And you know what? He'll do it. He will do it. Today in your loss, you know what he's trying to tell you? You're good. You got enough. You have enough. You have enough. And that's what the world tried to tell you. You're good enough. You don't need to worry about that religious stuff. You're good. You have enough. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe the lies of this world. Jesus Christ has got a deal for you. You know what? Have you got enough of him this morning? I hope not. And if you don't have him, come up here and get him. Say, come and get a song.